You're listening to Senior Moves.
Hey everyone, welcome to this Thursday's release of the podcast, where we're talking about the impacts of debt and finance on a parent project. Like always, today's shows could speak to many, but it's specifically oriented to family, friends, and professional advocates of the aged who have stepped into a leadership position of a downsizing project. We're going to look at some of the current COVID fraud schemes out there targeting older Americans. We're going to provide some tips on how to begin a conversation about money, and we'll dive into the issues of monitoring a parent's financial situation while they can still manage and control their own finances, plus so much more. Overall, there's some great information on how to approach, monitor, and address a range of debt-related issues for your parent projects, so I hope you guys enjoy the content today.
You're listening to Parent Projects, a Senior Moves podcast production. Now here's your host, Tony Siebers.
Lots of great content to cover today. We're going to break up this episode today by three segments: a financial safety, a debt management, and kind of a barriers segment. I really want to lead off today with the continuing COVID-19 scams. There's a great article all the way back in October of last year, and we're still really working through this, that talked about some of the scams that were coming out of the efforts for contact tracing. So, a couple of quick things to think about on the front end. Generally, contact tracers have been contacting older Americans, whether they're pulling the lists from AARP, or who knows where they're coming from, but they're able to, you know, with social media and with other things today, they're able to pull up lists of those people that are more susceptible to giving up information. And if you haven't dealt with this in your family yet, it's a great idea. Chances are you know somebody who has a friend or a colleague that has dealt with this. So a couple of important things we'll kind of cover. The first, in spotting the scams. So contact tracers do typically begin with text messaging. That is something that is pretty legitimate. They also might reach out with phone calls. But there are a couple things that the contact tracers will not do. And reminding our family of this and doing it pretty consistently can kind of help. Number one, they will not ask for money. All right. Make sure everybody understands they will never ask for any kind of payment. They'll never ask for cash or gift cards or any kind of card in any other way. That's one thing that should be taken off the table and should immediately key our family members or those that we're working with that they're definitely being a target of a scam. They do not need your bank account or your credit card numbers. So continue to that. Number two, they don't need Social Security information. They will not need your Social Security number, not even the last four digits of your Social Security number. That's not part of contact tracing. So you can add that to the list. Also, they're not going to need your Medicare number. So contact tracers will never ask for your Medicare number. They won't ask for your insurance information. For those of you, particularly in the Southwest here where we're at, immigration status doesn't matter either. So if a contract tracer is calling, is calling and they're asking for this kind of information, they're not a legitimate. This is indeed a scam. So be on the lookout for that. They're also not going to send links through email or texts. That's not part of the protocols. If you do click on them, it can download, malicious malware or other things to your computer or your phone. So those are some top things to look to. Regarding the testing sites and what to look out for, social media, being really cautious there. Watch out for the advertisements in social media that are talking about COVID-19 testing or supplies. Make sure that any of the appointments that you make are the actual locations. Usually you can research those with the local county, and your county will tell you where those locations are at. Again, it's the links. Don't open links if you get them in an email or anything from an unknown source. And Medicare and Medicaid are not going to call and ask for your number. So that program is not associated to this at this time. So, as of this podcast in September of 2021, should have nothing to do with any of that. So, you know, one of the other questions that comes up is, how do you make sure that it's a legit testing site that you're looking at? One of the key things that you can do is really get a referral from your doctor. Check in with them, and they can they'll tell you where you should go to get tested. You can also contact a local law enforcement. Police and sheriff's offices can let you know if a testing site's legitimate if you're unable to find the county website online. So make sure to keep an eye on that. In general, as with most scams that are out there, we want to encourage our loved ones and in some cases maybe even putting a sticky note on a refrigerator that just reminds them, do not give out bank account number, do not give out credit card information, do not click on links. And don't give up your personal information. Government entities will not call you and ask for personal information. So that's some important things to put up there. If you want to talk through a couple of situations with your family member, remember scammers, once they get them on the phone, they're going to pressure them to provide some pretty detailed information very, very quickly before they have time to really process where they're at. So if they feel that a conversation's just going really quickly and they're being asked a lot of information, chances are that it is a scam. But in any case, just hang up the phone. It's the easiest way to in the military, we say break contact. Just all they have to do is hang up the phone. If there's something legitimate there, that person is going to call back and you can slow the process down and start working through it. Chances are that if they are a scam, they're not going to call back. They're going to go in the other direction, particularly if you haven't given them any information yet. Remind them to call a friend or a family member. If there's someone in particular in your family that's dealing with that type of aspect, have their contact number sitting there and say, hey, call this person when you're receiving it. And having one consistent person who's collecting how often that's happening can really help you manage the project long term for what to do. If you do find a scam, if you're wondering and how you take care of that, this is something that's handled by the Office of the Inspector General. Through HHS. So you can report it online through the Inspector General's office, and that's oig.hhs.gov. Again, that's oig.hhs.gov. Or you can always call in the tip line, which is 800-HHS-TIPS. That's 800-447-8477. So that's a great way for us to help our loved ones out there. The next thing to really think through is debt management. When we're talking with budgeting or conversations and tracking and figuring things out, really what's key to staying on top of all of this is communication about finance. And perhaps your family's already talking about finance, and perhaps it's never talked about finance. Just in general, there's a great article out in August of 2021. We'll put it down in the description below by Marie Burns. And in her article, she did a great job of breaking down how to turn the tables of the conversation from somebody jumping in or diving into another person's personal content or their what they would consider just a very personal stuff, and how to turn the tables on that so that really you become an enabler for them or a resource or a tool. And you're going to find, if you listen to this podcast regularly or you are a member of seniormoves.org, you're going to find that this is a common theme in our dignity and downsizing movements here. These are touchy subjects, and Maria Burns talks exactly about that. She does a lot of workshops about how to estate plan and help other family members. This isn't a sponsored plug for her, but I just say what she makes good mention of in her articles is that common questions do come up and how to handle that touchy subject. And of course, this is something that is really common for us. Most often, it follows a fraud. or where something else has come up, or we see that our parents or the people that we're advocating for are having a hard time keeping up with the amount of fraud that's coming their direction, and you really need to, you feel compelled to step in there. So as you wade into the water of that, make sure that you're thinking their best interests and communicate to them in a way that you can become a good resource and an asset to them. Breaking down and having what many refer to as the talk is something I've heard it best explained probably this way from this perspective. A client that I'd had years ago when I was moving him here in the Phoenix metro area, his family was involved in, but he really didn't want them much more involved. And the reason that he didn't want them involved was he didn't feel that they knew him. And we had during one sidebar conversation, I got this opportunity to allow him to kind of roll through that a little bit so I could understand what knowing him was personally. So I could avoid that and make some ground there. Also, he was going to depend on his kids long term for a solution. I could help him get moved from point A to point B in this project, but long term he was going to need someone to help him avoid fraud. And as he waited closer and closer to a time in his life when he would need someone else to help him with those things, he was going to need to depend on family. And it's a good practice. All that aside, his comment was that his kids knew who he showed himself to be. And he really spoke to me as a parent. You know, I have five children, and he had asked about that, and he knew that. And then he said, you know, do you tell your kids everything about you? And of course, I have a six-year-old daughter as my youngest, and I, even with my teenage boys, I want those guys, I want all my kids to see the best version of myself. And so he was explaining it in really his terms to that. You show your children what you want them to see. And the reality is they see that for 18 years or so. He said he hadn't seen his kids over the course really of other than kind of here and there visits over a course of 45, almost 50 years. And so now as he's approaching 70 years old, his children have this memory of what he looked like and was, or let them see 45 years ago. And that's what he's given them in order to make decisions on his behalf. And that kind of becomes a problem. So when you're going into the talk, be mindful of that. Take time to understand where they are and let them see you as providing a different approach or a helpful approach to them that helps them get through stuff. Remember that these are unpredictable times. There's probably some level of fear that's sitting around there. And because they are being attacked, this is a great opportunity for you to show yourself as a resource and an asset. So now in doing that, one thing that I definitely wanted to cover today was a common tool that I used in my practice to help families communicate what was going on, or to give visibility of the financial situation of an aged loved one without turning control over. And particularly when my client was completely capable of continuing to manage their own finances, they just knew the day was going to come in which they were going to need someone else. And so they wanted to get a head start and some visibility and close that knowledge gap. So one of a great tool we've learned too is Mint. Again, this is not a sponsored plug. So hashtag not sponsored, but Mint is a tool that can be connected directly to credit card accounts, to checking accounts, and to others. It's run by Intuit, the makers of QuickBooks and TurboTax, and other great products. So great scale of people that are working the security issues and everything behind. But what it does is it provides, it's a great budgeting tool to see, you can put into it a budget ahead of time to understand what you're spending, you expect your spending to look like or what it should look like. And then you can track in real time as it's coming through. You get you can set up alerts when certain activity happens that you want to be, you know, watching for. And it will proactively alert you as well if it recognizes something that is out of sync with the normal spending activity as it's working through. The data that it holds to everything that we've read online and seen is anonymized data. So, over the course of this product, which has been on the market for, honestly, it's probably pretty close to a decade that we've used this in household finance personally, as well as recommended other clients. It's been safe, haven't seen any problems or breaches in security. So we feel pretty confident recommending it as a solution. Again, it gives that visibility and parents can choose what level that visibility is. So depending on what accounts get linked into there to show the visibility. Also, Mint doesn't hold on to, you make a connection, a dynamic connection, and then what we call an API connection. And so you're not giving your password up to Mint or to somebody else. And that can help as well in case there's changes of passwords or changes of account. Anytime anything major like that would happen, you're going to be able to see that within the system. So just a great tool that sits out there to assist and help us when we're trying to monitor from remote. Hey, this is about where I'm going to leave you for the day. We've gone over today some of those scams that sit out there from COVID-19, and just reminding you to touch base and proactively, maybe leave sticky notes, leave some other kind of note, leave some instructions, and we talked about leaving a consistent single point of contact that's kind of collecting to see overall if there's a tempo of problems happening. We've talked through some debt management tools that sit out there, ways to track and to see budgeting, to sit down and to begin some of those conversations. And we've talked through some of those barriers, both emotional and maybe even physical, in the distance and the time that we've spent with each other, that can slow us down from being able to have these discussions and work forward. And that's it for the Senior Moves team this week. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoy the content, remember to subscribe to this podcast on that app that you're using right now. Reviews and comments, they help us help you by expanding our reach and our perspectives. So if you have time, please drop us a note and tell us how we're doing. For more tips and tools to get your parent project moving while maintaining dignity and downsizing, you can find us on YouTube, follow us on Facebook or Instagram, and join us at seniormoves.org. Thanks again for joining us this week, and we'll catch you next Thursday.
Thank you for listening to this Senior Moves podcast production. To access our show notes, resources, or forums, go to seniormoves.org. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any decisions, consult a professional. This show is copyrighted by Phoenician Partners LLC and Senior Moves. Written permissions must be granted before syndication or rebroadcast.